Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll be right back.
Welcome, welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today in the Extra Hour is Pat and Chris.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Is Chris still there?
I am still here.
I think so.
There he is.
Good morning.
There he is, the one and only. Well, if you're just joining us in the Extra Hour, my goodness, we had a fantastic first hour. We talked about the new year and getting ready and refocused and with a one thing, passion for the Lord. We're so, so excited to be ending 2012 and beginning 2013 with God on our mind and on our hearts and in our vision. There's no way to end the year, no way to start a year, but with Jesus.
That's right.
All the way. I also want to encourage you that if you missed yesterday's program, my goodness, if you missed yesterday's program, I want to encourage you, go to the highlights section. Go to the highlights section on the VFN Torch, and where you'll see the different highlights that we spoke about, the different segments that we spoke about on yesterday's program. And one of those highlights segment was we talked about the New York newspaper. And if you remember this, Pat, I'm sure you do, that published the names and addresses of the citizens who own guns.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Well, I mean, I can't believe that it happened, but it actually happened. This happened in Westchester. Actually, I know the area. Mm-hmm. I had to travel in this area and realize exactly where it was, but I know the area that
like in your neck of the woods,
done.
Right?
Yeah, it's a little further away, not too far, but just right over the bridge. But this is horrible. This is horrible. Second Amendment right that you know you're allowed to own a gun, but I'll tell you if what's going on now, you can almost see, it's a perception that's trying to wedge itself in the world that's, oh my goodness, if you have a gun, why would you want one of those? Why would you want one of those? Mm-hmm. I saw where someone posted yesterday, we should ban automatic lighters because automatic lighters cause fires. You know, I was like, come on now, break, you know, don't, you know.
I know you can go down a long path on that one.
Oh my goodness. I don't even want to go down there. But, you know, hey, listen, if since, you know, you use your freedom, you know, I understand that the First Amendment, you know, allows you to publish things and put things out in the paper. And, you know, well, that can work on the other side, too, because just recently a blogger found that, you know, to exercise his First Amendment right. Mm-hmm. And he published the names and addresses of almost the entire staff of that newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
They published that. I don't know if you saw that in the news.
Yeah.
But he did that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was just fed up like many people were that, you know, you just put people's lives in danger when you did that. And you publish people's, you know, a gun is a valuable. You just told the whole world that there's a pile of cash sitting in this house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guns are not cheap. You know what
right.
I mean? And criminals steal guns.
Right.
And one thing I didn't know that the person who put the blog up, this is Fox News is reporting this. It says his name is Christopher Fountain, and he put this blog up. He has a blog, but he put their names and addresses. He even put one of the editors' Facebook page up with pictures and everything, so the world could see.
Wow!
And it's like, oh my goodness, you know, it doesn't feel good when it's done on the, you know, on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But this blogger Fountain here received emails from abused women who were under protective order, that they were afraid because their addresses and all their stuff was out.
Oh wow!
A map that, you know, this could pose a danger to them.
Wow!
Just because you can do something.
Exactly.
Doesn't mean that you should do something.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't in the best judgment, I don't believe, mm-mm, for this newspaper to originally post the names and addresses with a map, mm-hmm, no less. With a map, no less.
That's crazy.
It was Holmes. So if that's a follow-up to yesterday's program, but kind of things are changing daily. Mm-hmm. We also talked about the sleeper cells. You don't want to miss that. That, you know, although there may be sleeper cells all across the country and they activate it with one phone call, mm-hmm, you know what? The church also has some sleeper cells.
Right.
And stay encouraged, because all it takes is one activation, one call of the Holy Spirit, and those sleeper cells will be awakened, mm-hmm, and they will fulfill the destiny that God has placed on the church. You don't want to miss that. We did talk about injecting Google Phone into our bodies. Oh, my goodness.
We
have a video of the Android commercial posted for you on the Torch, so you can see it for yourself. Mm-hmm. We spoke about it yesterday, but you can actually see it. You can see it. It's this 30-second vision, if you will, of what they say. You're just not upgrading your phone. Mm. But you're upgrading yourself. And it's, they're literally injecting the DNA of an android into a human body. Crazy. The original intent. This is like, mm-hmm, my goodness. You know, I mean, you have Ray Kurzweil talking about how to create a mind. It's all this artificial intelligence, all this gathering. Mm-hmm. At some point, we're just going to have to unplug. And you know what? It goes back to the two trees in the garden. There's this quest for more and more and more and more and more and more knowledge. Just because you have more knowledge doesn't mean you have the knowledge of God.
That's right.
And just because you have more information doesn't mean that you have revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something. Information is not going to cut it. You need the wisdom of God. A computer will never, ever be able to replace the wisdom of God, no matter, mm-hmm, how intelligent this computer is going to be made out to be.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it, but watch the video. And I know that it's being seen on Facebook, and a lot of people are enjoying that and getting seeing that for themselves.
Right.
We also talked about, you know, yesterday, 5 days to the fiscal cliff, 4 days today. And so be in prayer about that. But you know what? We're going to talk here in the extra hour about worry. This is something we don't have to worry about. Mm-hmm. Believe you me, if you're believing the Lord Jesus Christ, put your faith in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know, honor the Lord. To whom much is given, much is required. Don't, mm-hmm, rob the Lord in the tithes and the offerings. Let me tell you. Put your trust in God. It doesn't matter what's happening in the world's economy if you're participating in God's economy. You got to participate in God's economy.
That's right.
And we also talked about, you know, are we going to acknowledge God? And that was just so good. You know, David acknowledged the Lord. And we shared out of Psalms 5, and we all shared out of 2 Chronicles, that we just need to cry out to him. We don't need to rely on our own strength. We don't need to rely on what we can do. But we need to be in a position and a place of humility that we're willing to acknowledge God no matter what trials, no matter what circumstances we face, no matter what's pressing up against us, that we don't start leaning on the arm of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the king said, listen, you know, the king of Assyria is coming against us, and he is a vast army, but he's coming in the arm of the flesh. We're coming, you know, we're standing with God. We're standing with the Lord, and we're going to be victorious in this.
Mm-hmm.
And you may be facing a vast army in your life today. You may be facing a vast situation that's threatening to take you down. This is what the king of Assyria tried to do. He tried to get into the head of the people of Judah. He tried to get into to the king,
mm-hmm,
and it's like, no, that's not going to fly. That's not going to happen. We just try to taunt them and cause doubt. And we took out the other God, so surely we're going to take out your God.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, the enemy would love to get into your mind, psychological warfare,
because
he doesn't have no real authority. He doesn't have any real power.
That's right.
But if he can get you to doubt who God is in your mind, what God can do, what God's promises say, what God has done for you all these years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's already defeated you by even before he launches any sort of attack.
That's right.
But it didn't work. God delivered the people of Judah, and he'll deliver you if you're willing to cry out and acknowledge him.
That's right. Mm, absolutely right.
Isn't that right?
Very good.
And then, of course, we shared this, and we're so excited about this. But we shared about stepping out from amongst the crowd in 2013. You know, John the Baptist was baptizing people, you know, in the Jordan River. And out from amongst the crowd, Jesus stepped out.
Mm-hmm.
And John the Baptist at that particular moment was able to recognize and to be able to be noticed and say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And at that moment, his eyes were revealed. But Jesus stepped out. He was amongst the crowd, but he stepped out from the crowd. And we talk about how so many people want to be recognized and so want to be, mm-hmm. be you know, seen or appreciated, if you will, or, you know, I guess the best word is recognized mm-hmm. before they step out.
Yeah.
And the thing is, listen, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way in the kingdom of God. It doesn't work that way moving forward. Mm-hmm. What happens is that you step out. You step out trusting God, being fully persuaded that you know, God's going to meet you there. And 2013 is your year. I'm telling you, so many people are content just to be related, to be amongst a crowd, giving an appearance of maybe going after God or knowing mm-hmm. the things of God.
Right.
You can't have a virtual experience with God. You got to be engaged. You got to be in the game. This is not like reality TV where you just got to watch, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. You got to participate. You got to participate.
Right.
Don't be amongst a crowd. Step out of the crowd and say, 2013 is going to be about me and God advancing the kingdom of God on the face of this earth, and I'm going after God like I've never been gone after God before.
Right.
So I want to encourage you. You miss a day of VFN radio, you miss a lot. So you can always go back. You got the marathon weekend coming up. You don't want to miss that. But check out. Go ahead and listen to these segments and forward them to your friends and encourage others. Well, you know, in God's News Behind the News, just this morning, guys, I don't know if you saw this, just this morning in New Jersey, southern New Jersey, apparently a person was being arrested. They brought him into the police station.
Mm-hmm.
And when they brought him into the police station, he was being processed. Somehow this person was able to get one of the guns of the police officers.
Oh, wow.
And he winds up shooting three police officers. One was shot right below, in the belly area, right below mm-hmm. the vest.
Oh,
so he'd been rushed, but they were able to shoot and kill the person that they were arresting.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to just make sure that we just lift up these police officers, not only in Gloucester, you know, township where this happened in southern Jersey, but we want to pray for all of our first responders. We want to pray for all of our police officers mm-hmm. that protect us. That's what
right.
they do. I mean,
yeah.
they, you know, their mission is to serve and to protect. And when you see an attack on them, you're really seeing an attack on us. And mm-hmm. get behind your local law enforcement. Get behind them and support them and pray for them, because they're standing with us, keeping our streets safe and so that our children can play outside and
right.
do all the things. We want to be able to stand with them and mm-hmm. with their family.
Exactly.
Also, in God's News Behind the News, Pat, you're telling me this, and
mm-hmm.
I don't want to say that I can't believe it, because you can never underestimate evil. But,
right.
you know, we shared on VFN Radio before how Pastor Youssef from Iran,
mm-hmm.
the Christian pastor, was sentenced to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I don't remember exactly how long he was sentenced for.
It was like three and a half years, something like that.
Okay, about three and a half years
mm-hmm.
For evangelizing Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, Jay Sekulow and his crew and a lot of believers and Christians around the world have prayed. They've petitioned governments
mm-hmm.
for Iran to release Pastor Youssef. And
mm-hmm.
in fact, you know, eventually they did. And we shared that with our VFN radio audience the day
That's
that
right.
he was released. And we celebrated with him. But my understanding is that he's been, according to CBN News, he's mm. been arrested again.
Right, on Christmas.
On Christmas. I want you to listen up.
Turning overseas, Iran has arrested Pastor Youssef Nadarkhani again, this time on Christmas Day. The pastor was acquitted of a charge of apostasy in September, but was told that he would have to finish his 3-year sentence for a different crime, evangelizing Muslims. He served all but 45 days of that sentence and was set free after posting bail. But now Iranian authorities claim he needs to go back to prison and finish his time. Some Christian activists worry that Nadarkhani may still be not safe, even if he is released after he serves the 45 days.
45 more days. Is this serious?
Unbelievable.
Listen, we want to pray for Pastor Youssef. We want to pray for the believers in Iran. We don't want to be part of a sleeper cell. We don't want to fall asleep while our brothers and sisters are being persecuted and being arrested, not for committing crimes, not for robbing things, not for doing evil, but for doing good.
Right.
Pastor Youssef is evangelizing and sharing the gospel, the good news, with a people that have been just under massive oppression. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And now he's been arrested. Listen, let's stand with Pastor Youssef. Let's believe that this is just not another ploy of the enemy to keep him in there longer.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing I want to encourage you as you're listening today is that, listen, don't ever underestimate evil. Listen, the safest place, and we talked about this in yesterday's segment, the safest place is to be on the front lines. The safest place to be is to be engaged in advancing the kingdom and moving forward. Mm-hmm. But if you're not on the front lines, you're going to be left. You're going to be sitting, you're going to be falling asleep, and you're going to be open to attack. Don't ever underestimate evil. You want to stay on the front lines. You want to be prayerful. You want to be about the Father's business and not about the stuff that religion has made it out to be. Listen, it's about knowing Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's about knowing Jesus and making him known.
Exactly right.
I mean, that's it. Knowing Jesus and making him known. We like to say loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same.
That's right.
It's the great commandment of the Great Commission. It's not as hard as religion's made it out to be. It's not as you know, just loosey-goosey as others have made it out to be either.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about knowing the Lord, knowing Jesus Christ, having an abiding relationship with him, and sharing him with the entire world while you have the chance to do it.
That's right.
We'll be right back.
Vine Fellowship Network University. It is amazing. When you live and breathe and be educated in the things of God through a rhema word, what God is saying now to his people, what we need to know now and do in this generation. Listen, it's so encouraging. It's amazing. And it's so enlightening. And it's not as hard as religion's made it out to be. And it's not frivolous like the rebellious has made it out to be. But it is important. It's learning the things of God and a quick learning path depending on your time and also moving at the pace that you need to move it. Listen, you got to check it out. You've got to check. It's time to say, you know what? I want to go deeper in God maybe. Or you can say, not only do I want to go deeper, but I believe that there is a church plant inside of me. I want to start in my city, in my state, in my country, a church. I want to plant a church. I want the vine to begin to grow in my own city. But I need to know. I need to be rightly related. I need to know what I need to do. Well, Vine Fellowship Network University is for you. Check it out. VFNU.org. VFNU.org. I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to VFNTV.com or you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. These are going to VFNTV and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over 1 billion people now, 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
We got a Facebook and it's over, I don't know, it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up and just, you're joining us. And we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFNTV app, that's at VFNTV.com, is also on your Facebook. So it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience, a virtual stadium, if you would, that's being filled all around the world. And now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you. And if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to Facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So you can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the wisdom moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I need to know what God's perspective, the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook or at VFNFacebook.com/VFNTV.
you know, VFN Radio and VFN TV, you know, we are a Christian. We're Christians bringing to you a conversation. We're not a news core. We're just saying, you know, what's going on from what we understand and just kind of sharing our opinion about it and what God's laying on our heart. We believe that God speaks through his word. We believe God speaks through dreams and visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And with that, we bring together sometimes what we call God's news behind the news. What we're doing is bringing to you based on what we personally have experienced or feel in our heart, because God's word says every man knows in part and prophesies in part. And we're encouraging you, hoping to stir, you know, what God's saying to you inside of you, that you can hear that. We're not saying that we are a news organization. Things that we're talking about, that we are hearing, that is our opinion that we're sharing with you. And God has an opinion, you know, and yes, we're trying to tap into what he's saying and hopefully, you know, being able to share that because of his word. And so I just want to clarify that's what VFN TV and VFN Radio is. We're here to encourage you. It's to the church, which are believers. We are speaking out to those that have gone astray, and we're kind of encouraging you to come back, and those that are being led to the Lord. I mean, God's drawing you, and we're talking to you. We're not speaking at large to, you know, whosoever. You know, we're actually talking to those that God has as his own, that he's drawing to himself, and those that have gone astray. And we're just sharing our opinion, you know, what God has laid on our heart.
Welcome back to VFN Radio, and thank you for joining us in the extra hour. Joining with me today, I'm John Ramos, is Pat and Chris. You're joining us in the extra hour. We love to have fun. But if you're joining us in the extra hour, we just finished talking about Pastor Youssef, and we just talked about, just listen, we just need to pray and never underestimate evil. Stay on the front lines. But at the same time, you know, there's so many people right now that are being attacked with worry. You know, guys are being attacked with worry, mm-hmm. whether it be the looming financial fiscal cliff, you know, mm-hmm. financial cliff, which is just kind of so tired of hearing about it by now. It's just like, come on now, you know, whether it's the all the stuff that people have been through during 2012, and because they've been hit with such a hard blow in 2012, they have no hope for 2013. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a great uncertainty just in a lot of people that you speak with. And one thing that you don't want to fall to is to begin to worry. Right. And because worry will sap the life out of you. And all we can do is trust God and rest. Rest in God. I'm talking to the believer. I'm talking to the church right now. You know, show God that you're willing to do your part, but you're also willing to trust him to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to do your part, but there's only so much that you and I can do. There's only so much that we have to take our hands off of and say, God, listen, I'm entrusting this to you. I got to let God do his part. Mm-hmm. And worry oftentimes is the interest that we pay on tomorrow's problems. Worry is the interest. I'm saying it again, the interest that we pay on tomorrow's problems. And think about worry is that worry brings torment. You know, you're tormenting yourself. It's disturbing thoughts. It's annoyances and cares and anxieties. And you're just so wrapped up. Your mind is constantly engaged in gloom and doom. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not going to work out. And negativity. And you begin to start a downward spiral. You begin to get on a slippery slope where you get so cranial, if you will. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Oh, no, they're going cranial on me. You got to unplug to what's going on in the rest of the world. And it's all over you. Mm-hmm. It's this worry and this dread. And for the believers, let me tell you something. God wants to, you know, his will for us is to have peace. You know, Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your heart continually. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we're supposed to flow in. It's a place that we're supposed to have. The peace of God, it's our inheritance. He's the Prince of Peace, and it's supposed to flow continually through us. You know, in John 14:27, this is what Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you." This is the New Living Translation, NIV. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." See, God would not ask you to do anything that he wouldn't enable you to do.
Right.
You know, if he says do not be afraid, it's not because he's saying do it in your own strength. He says, listen, don't be afraid because you can trust me. You know, when it comes to worry, you just got to say, listen, I'm just not going to worry about this. You know, one of the things, guys, I tell my son, you know, if he's being attacked in a certain area and begins to worry about something, I said, listen, he says, but it's in my head, Dad, it's in my head. I said, listen, just change the channel. Change the channel.
Right.
Change that in your refocus. And the word says, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is excellent, think on these things. You need to start remembering the wonders of the Lord. You know, do not become fretful. Do not become full of anxiety. And the thing about it is that grace has to be understood. Grace has to be understood if you're going to have peace.
Mm-hmm.
19 times, Pat. They greeted each other in the letters in the Word of God,
mm-hmm,
with grace, grace, wow, grace, 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 grace. And you're never going to understand peace without understanding grace, because grace is undeserved favor. You it's undeserved, unmerited. You can't earn it. It's given. Here it is. And you may be wondering, how can I have peace in my life? Listen, peace is available to you. But it's gonna be because of the grace of God, not because you've earned it. You're not gonna create your own peace.
Mm-hmm.
People get into that thing. It's that whole do thing again, where I'm gonna start doing and putting things in my own hands so that I can earn my peace, so that I can have peace in my life. I said, listen, grace provides you the opportunity to have peace readily available to you, where you don't have to do a thing. You don't have to be involved in your situation. You don't have to put your hands on it to create a pseudo peace,
mm-hmm,
but you can allow God to let his peace overtake you because you have a revelation of God's unmerited favor, of his grace that says, look, it's yours.
Mm-hmm.
It's yours. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 says, trust in the Lord. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge him.
You know, John, you know, you're saying that, and it reminds me, this morning I was just reading in Joshua 1:9, God is speaking to Joshua, and he says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go."
Mm-hmm.
It's he commanded it. If God said it, then it will be.
That's right.
You know, we're not supposed to be afraid. We're not supposed to be terrified, worry about these things that are coming.
Right.
And he goes on and he says, "Go and take possession of the land." He says, "I will give you rest in the land that I'm giving you."
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a command. We're supposed to just hear him, like you're talking about, hear him and do,
mm-hmm,
and not be afraid about it, not worry about it.
That's right.
Right, right. Isn't that, and we shared about that actually yesterday as well, when we talked about, you know, this, the proverb says, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path.
Right.
And we talked about it with the king of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was the whole thing. Hezekiah was able to cast vision when the king of Assyria was trying to plant all of this doubt. One of the things that King Hezekiah did before the doubt came, he started to cast vision with the people of God. And he said same exact thing that you just said, Chris, and Joshua. Mm-hmm. He says in verse 7, be strong and courageous.
Right.
The same thing. Do not be afraid or discouraged, because the king of Assyria and the vast army that's with him, for there is greater power with us than with him.
Mm-hmm.
With him is only the arm of the flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and fight to help us and fight our battles.
That's right.
And so, listen, God is with us. God is with us. And we need to be able to understand that and trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And realize that, listen, we don't need to get into all this. We need to acknowledge the Lord. We need to give him the credit. We need to cry out like David did. We need to cry out like Hezekiah did and said, Lord, if you don't do it, I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to be so prideful to think that I can actually do something to fix my situation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right. And even in Psalm 6, you know, David's crying out, you know, to the Lord. His enemies are surrounding him. He's been crying out so long that he's become weak. You know, his eyes are failing him. He's become faint. You know, and he says, I flood my bed with weeping and I drench my couch with tears, you know, but then he goes on to say, he says, you know, away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy, and the Lord accepts my prayer.
Mm.
Yeah.
All my enemies will be ashamed and dismayed. They will turn back in sudden disgrace. Mm. You know, he held on to it. You know, it's, again, like we were talking about, you know, waiting in expectation. You know, we pray and we wait. You know, it may not come right away, but it's coming because God says it's going to come. He declared it, you know, because, you know, he's saying, you know, I'm weeping, I'm faint because I'm crying out to you. He says, oh, Lord, where are you? You know, how long must I cry out? Mm. But yet then he declares, God has heard my cry. He's heard my pleas. You know, my enemies, you know, your trials, whatever, you know, that are coming against you, they're going to go away. They're going to run and they're going to flee. You know, because we're putting our trust in God.
That's right.
That's so good. You know, the thing about it too is that you're going to, you know, he was faint because he was crying out to God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can be faint because you're crying out to God, or you can be faint because you're worrying.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be faint either way. Yeah. But I tell you, I'd rather be faint because I'm crying out to God than slap wore out because worry has sapped the very energy from me. That's what worry does. Mm-hmm. Worry does a few things. Worry is basically our backup plan when we don't trust God. Worry robs you of the power that you need today.
Right. It robs you of your peace.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But your physical energy is just sapped.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a full-time job to worry. You look at someone who's been worried, they're just slap wore out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, did that work? Did that fix your situation?
Right.
Not only that, but worry often causes illnesses, ulcers, headaches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's
fear.
Yeah.
Fear of man.
Yeah, and it nullifies your prayers.
Mm-hmm.
It nullifies your prayers.
Opposite of faith.
Mm-hmm. It's said about worry that 40% of people worry about the future and they can't do anything about it. That another 30% worry about the past that can't be changed. Why would you worry about something that happened back when you was in high school, back when it's like, it can't be changed. It is what it is.
Right.
You need to trust God with that.
That's right.
You need to trust God with that. And then like 10% worried that their health is going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that ain't moving in faith. And 8% continue to worry about problems, you know, that they can't do, like we said earlier, they just can't do anything about it. It's like worry. Worry is sin because it's not of faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hebrew tells us, Romans 14:23 rather tells us, whatever is not of faith is sin.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about faith is Hebrews 11:1, now faith, present faith, right now, for this season, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It's sure and certain.
Right.
But worry has to do about doubt, uncertainty,
unbelief,
and instability and unbelief. Right. And it's important. You don't want to go into this new year worrying about your situation, you know. What do we do to catch ourselves from worrying? I mean, like, you know, what do you do? It's like, I'm on the slippery slope. I hear you guys, but I'm on the slippery slope.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got to stop. you got to stop. You got to ask God to forgive us. You know, you ask God to forgive you. You got to recognize God can't forgive you if nothing you don't acknowledge. That's why confession is so important. You know, we got to confess this to God. We got to say, look, this is what's been happening, Lord, and ask him to forgive us. And then realize that you can only do what you can do. And sometimes we know things, but it, you know, when we hear them again, it's like, oh, okay. I just needed to be told that. I will tell you again, you can only do what you can do. That's reassuring. Because once you've done all that you can do, now you stick, stay, and stand on the promises of God. And let me tell you, so if you're going to stick, stay, and stand on anything, man, let it be in God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times people, you know, they don't see the miracles in their life because they're not willing to step out. They're not willing to they're not going to ever see the waters part. They're never going to see the waters ever separate because they stay on the ground and they never put their feet in the water. What if I mess up? What if it doesn't look right? I'm look stupid. And, you know, really step out. Trust God and watch the waters part. And the last thing as we come to a close and you know, talking about worry here is if I remember the story correctly, you know, there was an Austrian city that was coming under attack from Napoleon's army, the French. And a church was meeting. The church was gathering. And they were like a little bit concerned. What should we do? One of the people in the church stand up and says, "Listen, we're just gonna have to have church. You know what I'm saying? We're just gonna have to just go after God and just be who we are and let's just gather and let's just see God. You know, let's just do what we're gonna do. You know, 18,000 troops are coming. Oh well, you know, but we're not gonna stop and panic.
Right.
So they had their service, but the French soldiers, when they heard the bell. They heard they were ringing the bell for service. When they heard the bell, the French soldiers ran out of town because they thought the Austrian army was in the town and was going to run them off.
Wow.
You know, when the believers start ringing the bell, the service was starting,
yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
They thought that the Austrian troops were coming and they were getting ready to run the French. And the 18,000 soldiers just took off.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
You know, when you just start worshiping God and you just start doing what God's told you to do, when you start seeking the Lord, guess what? The prison doors are going to bust wide open.
Right.
You know, you're going to have a way to get on out just like Paul did, and they're going to be able to run out of there and say, look,
right.
They didn't worry about being locked up in jail. They just started praising God in the middle of what was happening.
Wow.
They focused their attention and their gaze upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And while they did that, while they moved in faith, God responded to their faith. Chased them 18,000 soldiers out, opened the gates of your prison, and your captivity is free.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll never be free. You'll never be free of the problems, the trials, the situations that you're going through, by worrying about them. Trust God and watch him deliver you. We'll be right back.
You know, when I start thinking about Promise Keepers and the days that Coach McCartney heard from the Lord under the unction of God, he's riding with one of his friends, they're riding down the road, and they just said, you know, we got to get some men together. And it started with two of them saying, yeah, we got to do it. And the next year it started with 40, and the next year it started with a few more. And next thing you know, men were meeting all over the nation, meeting in small groups of men who had a focused theme of doing what's right before God. And with that, eventually these men came together and filled stadiums all around the nation. It was just a powerful thing. I can't explain it. Unless you were there, I just can't explain how powerful it was. There's something so powerful about men going after God, people going after God like that. But you know what? You know, when we came out of the stadiums, it just seemed like things began to die out. The very things that happened in the stadiums, it just started going away. And we began to seek the Lord, and we were wondering, we don't want this to stop. What the people that we saw alive in the stadiums were now going back into lethargicness and spiritual bondage again. What's going on? You know, what's the next step? And that's exactly what the Lord had led me to do. It's called today, Next Step Outback, where it's taken fathers and sons in the wilderness, fatherless sons and mentors, to be able to repent before God for not turning our hearts to our sons and our son's heart not to the father. And it was just a powerful time that God came down for
almost 10 years. And where he met us in the wilderness, we went out to meet him, and it was just a powerful time. But again, when we left the wilderness, the power of God experience, all the things that happened there, the same thing happened. Men went back into the traditional expression of what's going on. They fell back asleep again. They walked around like zombies when you'd see them in the stores and the different places. And it's like, you are alive. What happened to you? And they say right now today that over 20% of Christian women and 50% of Christian men are bound by an addiction to pornography. Listen, this is not working. We have to do something different. It makes me think about Billy Graham. We think about Billy Graham. You know, he had stadiums filled, you know, one stadium at a time, filled with people to come and to preach the gospel to them. And it would take about 9 months to be able to do the hard work, the groundwork, to be able to fill that stadium. And he'd preach the gospel really once, or that one weekend, and it would change lives. It's time for us, think about it, it's time for us to begin to do the groundwork. And what VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, think of it like this. It's a virtual audience where Billy Graham, an awesome man of God, preached the gospel like he did, and it just transformed a nation. We got to begin to do that now, but we can fill a virtual stadium. The audience of VFN TV and the daily radio program, we're not just once, not just one weekend, but every single day, whether it's on an iPhone or an Android or a computer or a smart TV, whether it's on a Facebook or some social media, it's just everywhere. It's going out preaching the gospel every single day for those who sit down, because once you sit down once in the virtual audience, you're actually get a chance to hear every single day the hope and the light of the gospel. And with that, what we found out that by sharing this with others in the almost one-sixth of the world's population now is in social media, like a billion people, that spending $1 in the context of getting it out to them, that at least at $1 brings in approximately, this is what we're finding out, these numbers now, that one person comes and sits down in our virtual audience. But they don't just sit down for a day or a weekend. They sit down continually for the entire year. And every single day, we get to let them know about the hope, the light of the gospel. Preach hope to them. Yes, for $1. Think about it. You can help fill this virtual stadium. When we fill this virtual stadium, I believe we're going to fill stadiums around the nation. I've seen the stadiums. The founder of God TV, she prophesied these stadiums will be filled. Listen, but it will start with us doing the groundwork like Reverend Billy Graham did. You can participate. Think about it. For $1, you can potentially have one person sit down in this virtual stadium and begin to hear the gospel and transform their life. For $10 a month, you could set 10, potentially 10 new people in this stadium every single month. $100 a month, 100 new people every single month. At the end of the month, end of the year, you would have sat over 1,200 people in the virtual stadium. Totally awesome. It's time. It's our season. Let's do it. Let's do the groundwork now in the virtual stadium so we can fill the stadiums tomorrow. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on help fill the virtual stadiums. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Help fill the virtual stadiums now. John, I was invited to come, you know, speak at a particular place at this gathering. And I'm there, I'm going to begin speaking, but I wanted to be able to kind of, you know, say something funny at first. And so I was telling him about this particular man, and I'll just tell them, this is how I did it. This is what I said. So I kind of changed my voice, and this is a real kind of goofy dude, you know, and he's talking, he goes, and they're looking at me like I'm crazy, by the way, and I'm talking to them. He says, I was in this place the other day, was in this particular state, and they were talking, you know, about regions, you know, in the country, and, you know, they're, you know, called them like stupid people, you know, and I just thought that is just not right, because you shouldn't call, you know, just certain regions, you know, of the country just stupid people. And I just said it wasn't right. So when I got home, you know, I was in my house, and then I decided to go in the backyard, you know, and I wanted to be out look for some stupid people in my backyard, right? And I locked myself out my house. And, you know, I'm trying to get back in. I can't get back in. So I go up the front door, and I'm knocking on the front door. And as I'm trying to, you know, get into the front door, nobody's in the house, and I can't get in. And the police show up. And they say, freeze! And I'm like, oh, my goodness. Put your hands. I held my hands up, and they said, what are you doing? I said, I'm looking for stupid people. And they just looked right at me with shock. But today's moment of wisdom is from Proverbs chapter 28. We know that's yesterday, but we're going to talk about it today because we skipped it over yesterday.
Yeah, Proverbs 28:4. And it reads, because we always want to watch the wisdom of God over us. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked. Wicked means immoral. So those who forsake the law praise the immoral. But those who keep the law resist them.
Right.
I mean, think about that. Because right now you're looking at so many things taking place. It's amazing today how many immoral men and women who are openly doing what is not right, not only in the eyes of God, but also in the eyes of the community, I mean, in the eyes of our Constitution, yet they have many fans that are praising them. They're just praising them. You know, think about it. It's like, what's going on? And today's wisdom helps us to understand why those who openly are wrong or immoral speak not only as those like the world or even, not even talking about the world, just the church in itself and Christians that are praising those who are doing this, because he's letting us know the reason why they do that is because they are actually in agreement with that. They're looking at a way to get permission to sin. Does that make sense? And so he said the reason why they praise those that are wicked or immoral is because it's something that they agree with. And so so don't get carried away when you look at somebody who's saying something that's contrary to God, contrary to the God founding of this nation, and then a whole bunch of people, you know, all of a sudden just say, hey, this is great. Let's go in this direction. Don't give up what's right. For that, because he says that we're supposed to actually resist that. Today's wisdom says, well, we resist it, and the first way we resist it is to prevent by action or argument. Prevent by action or argument. Of course, no man keeps the law perfectly, but there's a huge difference between somebody who gives themselves over to something,
and lives contrary to it openly,
Versus, you know, by the grace of God and the power of the cross of Christ, we fight against that which fight against us. It's the fight of faith. It's not nobody is sinless.
Right.
But the very fact, there's a difference in giving yourself over to something. You know, Paul said, the things that I hate, I do. When we don't hate the things that we end up doing sometimes because we are a sinner saved by grace and that, you know, we fail.
It's like the sheep and the pig. You know, the sheep falls into a little bit of dirt and it's like, you know, get this thing off of me, you know,
but
it rolls up in there and it's slap happy. And
this is good. I want some more mud.
Great. Big difference.
That's exactly it. You know, and how do we fight against it? Well, we don't fight against it by screaming at someone. I mean, the first thing we have to do. The first thing we need to do, you know, is begin to keep the law ourselves, you know.
Yeah.
You know, don't just pick out the things you don't like and preach against your preferences and keep the things that you do, but really begin to abide with God, begin to spend time with him, begin to hide his word in your heart, begin to pray to him, listen to him, and do what he says. You know, wisdom tells us that we're not just to sit back and let wickedness or immorality run wild, but we're supposed to resist it.
That's personally,
we start beginning to resist it in ourselves. We're not to be shocked. And we're not to fall to the majority concept of what's going on, but look at how many people are praising those who are immoral today in the nation and the things that they're doing. You know,
it's like you like the what on your Facebook? It's like you're a believer and that you like that demonic thing? Like what in the world is that? Are you serious?
Yeah, I mean, there's been some, you know, there's some amazing.
You know, that's just Facebook. I'm just saying, like. And what you're saying is like that cannot be us,
right?
You know, we cannot be, you know, in agreement with people that is like promoting wickedness. It's like what, you know, that's opposite. That's contrary to what God's word says and what we're supposed to walk out with God. But you're absolutely hit the nail right on the head. Those who are doing that, it's in their spirit. That's their agreement. Right. They're looking for agreement with that.
Right. And so that's why you're gonna it's kinda like, oh my goodness, now that means that I can do this thing without being, you know, condemned or criticized. I can just give myself up. And it's for the eyes of men.
I could like it too.
Exactly.
Okay.
The things I used to think was bad when I was convicted are no longer bad anymore, I guess. Because, you know, and it's just like, oh, it's a downward spiral of that. versus going back to the plumb line of God's word and find out what God says about it.
Right.
You know, and when you do that, every one of us are driven to the cross because we need Jesus. Nobody, the only standard is Jesus. It's not
right.
Any
Don't
man.
Use someone else's standard.
No,
you know, look
right.
at, oh, that person's godly and they did that. So wait a second. What are you? The standard is always the word of God, not what somebody else is doing. You know what I mean?
Right. And today's wisdom helps us understand that those who are praising them are ones that are forsaking God's ways themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they're not shocked. They're not like, oh my goodness, you know, this is great. But we're supposed to try and to prevent this, to resist it, which means is defined as to prevent it by action or argument. Mm-hmm. And an argument is just a different viewpoint. It doesn't mean going in the streets and arguing with somebody. It means, just saying, well, that's your viewpoint, but let's just find out what God has to say about it.
Right.
Not share our opinions because, you know.
Right.
Then how do we do this? The first thing we do is make Jesus the Lord of your life.
Yeah.
Because quite often you hear people that are conservatives in America and they talk like they're Christians, but they're actually just conservatives. Mm-hmm. They like that form of government. Mm-hmm. They like the things that come along with Christian values, you know, but the truth is that you got to know Jesus yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're talking about, hey, we need this God thing, because I know there's an atheist right now. Her name is Cup. I mean,
S.E.
Cup. She's an atheist, but she likes the idea of conservative government. So she sounds more like, you know, the Christian value of America than many Christians do.
Mm-hmm.
But she's an atheist. So you can't get caught up in the fact that just because, you know, you are a conservative, you know, that's your politics or you're part of a particular party that you know Jesus. No, you know Jesus if you know Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's right.
And he knows you.
Right.
So first thing you want to do is make Jesus the Lord of your life. And you can do that through, we can help you out. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out how you can do that now, just like Steve was talking a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. The second thing is abide with him, just what I talked about. Begin to abide with him. Don't run out in the streets and start arguing with people yet. Just abide with him. Get full of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Get full of God. Don't step outside your abiding place until you're full of God.
Mm.
Because if you move before you're full of God, you're moving when you're full of it.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And it's like, oh, you're full of it, but you're not full of God. You need to go back and spend time with God because you're arguing preference here. You're not arguing the love of God. Because if you were talking about the love of God, then you would have to say, I am you outside of him.
That's right.
But I found him and you can find him too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, such were some of us, and that we can. And so there's a loving a reality to a father calling his people home. And then we become Jesus's disciple. And Jesus says, you're really my disciple if you know and follow my teachings.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says in Proverbs chapter 1, talking about the shot being fired over the bow and the highlights on the VFN torch, is that he says, I want to make my teachings known to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to go back
to repent.
Yeah, you need to repent. But first, you got to find out what repent means. I got to stop what I'm doing and do what God wants me to do. But you're not going to know that until you find out what his teachings are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so become his disciple. Become a disciple of Jesus Christ. He says, teach them to obey all of my commandments, everything that I've commanded you. And this is how we love God. We love God through obeying his teachings, not by not earning anything. This is how we love God. Mm-hmm. And we can do that through the empowerment of abiding with Jesus. And at this point, you know, you think about it, we're walking in God's way. So now we're empowered to properly resist evil. We're ready and equipped to be able to resist, to have a right kind of argument of saying, you know, I know what you're saying. I know that everything in your flesh just wants to give over to this thing because for a long time, the enemy's been gnawing at you. And been telling you, you know, if you could just live your life this way, which is contrary to God's way, then all this pressure would stop. But the truth is, it wouldn't stop. It's going to be way worse. And that what seems like freedom, and that's what's being taught right now, is that, and he talks about that in Second Peter. He says, and these liars basically are saying, you know, that they're promising you freedom.
Loosey goosey.
Well, and literally, Jesus says they're promising you freedom, but they're false teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not freedom in walking away from God. There's actually bondage. And then he goes about saying, and it's like a dog returning to his vomit. It's better for you to never have known than to known and turned away.
They're crucifying them all over.
It's crucifying them all over again.
Yeah.
But in Peter, where he's talking about that, understanding that when somebody says freedom outside of following God, that's actually captivity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we can begin to have a right kind of argument. Now, that argument will sound really bad if you're not abiding with God.
Mm-hmm.
It'll sound hateful and religious, even though you use the same words. It's going to sound critical, religious, and fault-finding and everything else versus out of compassion and love when you're sharing that very same word. Because remember, many people have the same Bible, but they don't have the same God.
Yeah, right. A lot of people are caught up in religion, and just because we had, you know, you might have had a relationship with God at one time ago, and you left God, doesn't mean that you're, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you got to come back to him, and oftentimes you need a clean break. I mean, don't believe the hype, don't believe it. If you didn't know God, and you lived contrary to his ways, and say you didn't know of him, or about him, or knew the Bible stories, you didn't know him. You didn't have intimacy. You didn't abide. You didn't obey his word. He was living in your life. You have to abide. You got to return back to him. You got to give your whole heart to him. And then you begin to abide and spend time with him, and then begin to share and carry this out.
Yeah. And so understanding, you're seeing a lot of people say, hey, let's go this wicked way. Let's go this immoral way. And then you're seeing people in the streets going, yeah. You know, and then you're supposed to, as a believer, look what God says about it and find out what he's saying. You got to check first. Don't assume your preferences are right. And then then begin to do what we just talked about. But in that, you know, he says, if my people who are called by my name do this, then things begin to get restored and all. So we understand this is not odd what's taking place. The wisdom for today, the wisdom moment for today tells us what's going on. Mm-hmm. You have people who knew what the people who wanted to do immoral things wanted to hear. So they stood in front of them and they said, this is what I want to do. And they make them their leader. But ultimately, this whole thing is captivity by God set man. God is just in Babylonian captivity. If we don't wake up, today's wisdom moment is Proverbs 28:4. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked, the immoral. But those who keep the law resist them. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.